Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Jennifer Matala from Houghton Elementary School. Mrs. Jennifer Matala goes above and beyond for all students at the school, not just in her classroom. Working with students extra time to help students achieve learning skills and confidence needed to move them into the second grade. Any child that has had or will have Mrs. Matala as a teacher will have confidence, assistance, and all of the encouragement needed to succeed. If you know an amazing educator like Mrs. Matala, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Glad that you're along. Hope you made it through the Thanksgiving holiday okay and are getting ready for Christmas at this point. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation, and I haven't gotten any figures yet from them in regards to Giving Tuesday, at least not as we're recording this segment on Thursday morning. But my, oh my, it was a big number. It's going to be great. And thanks to everybody who participated and supported the 26 nonprofit organizations that were involved in Giving Tuesday. You can learn more about the Portage Health Foundation at phfgive.org. One of those organizations that was involved with Giving Tuesday is Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I thought, gosh, it's been a long time since we've talked with those folks. So Maggie Munch from Big Brothers Big Sisters joins me for the first segment of the program. Maggie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you here. I know you've got a little bit of a sore throat you're dealing with here, so we will bear with that, and thank you for working through it. I appreciate it.
I appreciate just the opportunity, any opportunity, to talk about Big Brothers Big Sisters.
I was thinking about this as I was putting some thoughts together on this program. We do a lot at this time of the year to try to help make sure that every kid in the Copper Country has a good Christmas. We support Toys for Tots. We support No Kid Without a Christmas in Keweenaw County. We support the Angel Mission program and all that they do, and several other organizations that are looking to make sure kids have a good Christmas. But I thought there are an awful lot of kids in the Copper Country who the best Christmas gift they could receive would be the introduction to a big brother or a big sister.
Yes, definitely. We always talk at Christmas time with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. The greatest gift we believe that you can give to a child is your time.
I have a grandson, and his father's not in the picture. And so I saw this firsthand several years ago. He was matched up with a big brother they live in the Kalamazoo area. It was a student at Western Michigan University. They hit it off. What a great positive influence that young man was in my grandson's life. He changed his life. He really did.
That's really wonderful to hear. You know, we do hear stories all the time about the impact that our bigs have in these kids' lives. And, you know, it starts with just adding an additional caring person to a child's life. And, you know, in most cases, how can that not be a positive thing?
Right.
How can that not impact their life? It does. And it's really just very simple. It's just these volunteers come in and they just spend time with these kids. They give them that gift of time that's so precious and valuable and has such a huge impact.
But I could see that being intimidating. I would be intimidated by it, I think. If I were to be looking at a young man who was maybe in elementary school, middle school, high school, I'm a little older now than I was decades ago. I have no idea what those kids are doing. I have no idea what activities they get into. I'd be a fish out of water.
It is challenging, you know, I mean, and that is something that causes people to hesitate when they think about volunteering for this program. But that stuff doesn't matter. You know, Big Brothers Big Sisters is there to support our volunteers as you go through this relationship with this child. So we're there to help you to kind of adjust and learn the things you might want to learn to kind of connect with these kids. But it really is so simple. So many of these kids in our program are just kind of like sponges for opportunity. You know, it's about you volunteering your time, giving your time, and sharing things that you already know, really. I mean, you take your interests and your hobbies into this relationship. You share these things with this child. So, I mean, most of the time, you don't have to learn something new. You don't have to be on the latest technology or doing all the things the kids are doing in order to connect with them.
Yeah, he goes chasing Pokemons with his phone. Yeah, I have no idea how to chase Pokemons. On the other hand, maybe that's something that I could learn. Maybe that's something that I should learn if I was hooked up with a young person it seems to me the first thing I would want to do is learn what their interests are and maybe have them teach me a thing or two.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what a powerful thing to allow a child to teach you something new. And, you know, I mean, it's an opportunity for volunteers. Like, you can be a kid again. You know, maybe you think about it now and you don't want to chase Pokemon on your phone. But, you know, maybe if you tried it, you might enjoy it a lot. Just, you know, play a little, be a kid, have some fun, and share that time with another kid.
You mentioned that we talked at the interview segment that we did for the Giving Tuesday a few days ago. You used a word that surprised me at the time. You said, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters is a part of the overall UP Kids organization. You called yourself the preventative arm.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, so UP Kids operates across the entire UP, and they are in child and family services, and they do a lot of programming with foster care, adoption, placement services, you know, a lot of intensive caseworkers, family workers who are working in the home, and all of these families are typically, you know, working with, like, the Department of Health and Human Services, and, you know, the Big Brothers Big Sisters programming came in to UP Kids because I think our board saw the need for preventing some of these things from happening, like getting in with families and working with families before they need such intensive services, before they're in foster care. And so they wanted to add something on the line of prevention, and they thought about Big Brothers Big Sisters and brought us on board.
So at least you can perhaps connect with a child who would be at risk in a family that's perhaps a little bit less than stable, generally one head of household as opposed to mom and dad both being there. You've got a kid who's at risk of going down the wrong road, and maybe we can step in and just kind of nudge him back to where he should be.
Yes, exactly. You know, helping them to find a path forward that leads them to achieve and succeed and to reach their greatest potential. You know, we're not creating anything new. We're not doing anything special or new for kids that we work with. We're just empowering them to believe in themselves, to know what they're capable of, and to fulfill that potential that's already existed within them.
How many kids do you have right now that are waiting for Big Brothers or Big Sisters?
In general, we always have in the Copper Country at least 20 to 25 kids on a waiting list.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's consistent through the years. And we don't, you know, we don't actively recruit families. They kind of come to us as they feel a need. I mean, but there's, if we did go out and recruit, we'd probably have a lot larger waiting list.
Yeah, I would think so. You probably are in a position where you can't afford to recruit kids too aggressively because you can't fill the need.
Right, because we never have enough volunteers, sadly, and there's a nationwide shortage of Big Brothers, which leaves little brothers on the waiting list a lot longer than little girls. We have the average wait time for a little brother is 2.5 to 3 years on our waiting list.
Oh, my.
And oftentimes the kids don't get matched. They kind of age out of our program and before we can find a big for them.
What is the age window?
We have 6 to 12 is the typical age range for kids to enroll in the program. But if they're matched to a big brother or big sister at the age of 12, we keep that match open until the young person is 21 years old. We'll support that match because that's part of what we do with Big Brothers, Big Sisters is professional support of the mentoring relationships. And so we stay a part of these relationships and guiding the family and the child and the volunteer through this, like navigating this relationship and supporting it and helping it to be a successful relationship.
How do you do that?
Communication, staying in touch with our families and the kids that we work with, as well as the volunteers. You know, we also have like monthly activities where we invite families and volunteers and kids too. And so we're seeing them in person now and then, and just staying in communication. And then, you know, working kind of as a team for this kid. The parent is talking to us, the volunteers talking to us, sharing their observations and what they're seeing. You know, we might have a volunteer come to us and say, "Hey, I've really realized, you know, my little is really interested in this specific thing. You know, what can we do to make that happen for them?" Like if a little boy is interested in, say, baseball, you know, and they've never played baseball before, but the big sees this interest and wants to encourage it. So they come to us and we just kind of work together, like brainstorm together to figure out how do we make this happen for this kid.
Because a lot of these kids, I'm sure, don't get the opportunities that some others do. You're typically talking single head of household families, often financially stressed families. So the opportunity to go out and buy all that hockey gear or buy the glove that you need for Little League or things of that nature sometimes isn't there.
Right. You know, and we will kind of find the way to make it happen. We'll look for scholarships that might be available. We will look for donations of a baseball mitt or whatever equipment we might need. We'll try to put that plan in place that will get that kid to that point where they can try this out and see if it really is something they love.
And there is no obligation on the big brother or the big sister to put a lot of money into this themselves.
No. We ask them actually not to spend money. When you're going on outings with the kids that you're matched to, we ask you to be creative and don't spend money on activities, because it's more about focusing on the time that you're spending together and building the relationship. We don't want it to be about like material items or gifts or anything. It's about just that time again.
Well, and of course, relationships end. And if you become financially dependent on that big brother or big sister for certain things, and the relationship ends for whatever reason, all of a sudden, kabump, that financial support goes with it.
Right. And we just really want the kids to know, to realize through this experience that it's about this time that this volunteer is sharing with them and about this person, not anything that this person gives to them, but just that relationship.
Talking with Maggie Munch from Big Brothers Big Sisters. Maybe you would like to be a big brother or a big sister, and you could get signed up, and that would make a wonderful Christmas gift for one of the many kids in the Copper Country who's waiting for somebody to be an adult presence in their life. So suppose I was interested in doing this, Maggie, and I came to you and I said, I'm a little nervous about it. I suppose most people are when they come into this. How do you match up an adult with a kid?
Well, the process of enrollment is, you know, for a volunteer and a child, is about us getting to know you. So there's a number of steps that you go through that allow us to get to know, like, a potential volunteer, to understand what your interests and hobbies are, to understand who you are, what your strengths are, and what you might be able to bring to this relationship. And then we look at matching you. It's almost like fitting two pieces of a puzzle together. We look at the kids that we have available on our list, and we look at similar interests and hobbies, but we also look at how might these personalities fit together, how might the strengths of the volunteer match up with the strengths of the family and the child, but also how might those strengths of that volunteer support this child to move them forward. So it's two pieces of a puzzle that we're looking for. We also work with volunteers to understand what you might be interested in as far as, you know, the age of the child. Do you want a younger kid, older kid, or, you know, do you want a child? Do you enjoy things outdoors, or do you enjoy slower indoor activities? And we just match them up.
Okay, and I assume that there's some background checking that goes on, because this is the kind of relationship that, unfortunately, sometimes somebody might try to abuse.
Yeah, you know, definitely safety is first and foremost in our mind every step of the way with what we're doing. And we do a multi-layered background check on our volunteers when they apply to make sure that they're a person that a child will be safe with. We ask for references. We do a home visit where we walk through the volunteer's home just to check it out, make sure it's a safe place for a kid to hang out.
That my mind would flunk right there. Well, been way too long since I vacuumed.
Well, I mean, hopefully you've vacuumed. Like, it hasn't been that long that it's a health hazard now.
Well, I'm not sure we would go that far. It's been a busy year. What can I say?
Safety and cleanliness are a different thing.
One of the things that I'm sure volunteers are a little bit skittish about is the amount of time that's going to be asked of them. Some people are busy. Some people may have families themselves or obligations that go along with that. What kind of a time commitment does a volunteer expect? What are they expected to do?
Yeah, that is an obstacle and a hesitancy for potential volunteers. And, you know, in general, it's once a week, a couple hours a week. You know, it varies depending on your schedule. You actually schedule with the family according to when you are available, kind of coordinate with the parents to make that happen. And, you know, some weeks you have more time to give than others, and you just schedule accordingly. And, you know, we understand volunteers, sometimes you're out of town, or if you have an extremely busy week or you have an emergency happening, we understand that one week you might not get together. Maybe you can make up for it next week with a longer outing. But it's about we just want to set up someone who's dependable and consistent in the child's life, who can commit and follow through to the time that they're giving to this kid. And, you know, if you happen to have to miss a week, you know, they know that you're going to come back next week, so that's okay.
Because that's got to be an important thing to the child who's involved here. That child has probably already been abandoned at least once by somebody very critical in their life. You don't want to set them up with somebody who's going to disappear within a few weeks.
Yeah, you know, we definitely want someone who's consistent and dependable in this child's life. And research does show if you give a child a mentor who is not consistent, who is not dependable, that can actually do more damage to the child than if they had never had that mentor. So,
yeah, yes. They're just learning again that adults can't be trusted. You know, grown men can't be trusted, because most of this comes from the men's side, I suspect, you know, that you can't trust those adults, and they become more cynical, and they're too young to be cynical.
Definitely. You know, we just want people who will be there for these kids, who will consistently be there and follow through with this commitment to this relationship. And, you know, because that person becomes a part of the child's support network, and that's huge for them.
So we're talking with Maggie Munch from Big Brothers Big Sisters. You mentioned that there is a much greater need for big brothers than for big sisters. Is that primarily because most of the families that you deal with are perhaps headed by women to begin with? Single women tend to be heads of household more than single men?
No. You know, I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily what...
Okay.
Puts the weight imbalance in our wait list. I think it's we have less male volunteers coming in the door is
okay.
What it is. You know, because there is still a need for big sisters. We still have little girls on our waiting list who you know, can be matched to a big sister. But it's just we don't see as many men walking through the door applying for this program. And that's nationwide.
Okay.
It's not just specific to us.
What are some of the things that a big brother or big sister might do on a weekly basis? Are there some kind of typical activities that you see going on?
You know, it really kind of varies from match to match from each relationship, depending on your interests and hobbies. But I mean, you're going to see a lot of people, you know, in the wintertime going out sledding or maybe ice skating. In the summertime, you might see matches going to the beach or just enjoying all of the typical things that one might enjoy in the Copper Country, whether it's indoor activities or outdoor activities. It just really depends on what your interests are. You know, again, it comes back to you, kind of what are your interests as the volunteer? And, you know, can you teach a kid about these things? Or do you want to learn something that they enjoy?
Does it ever not work out? You know, despite your best efforts to match up a child and an adult, are there ever times where the big comes back to you and says, boy, you know, this is just, it just doesn't seem to be working?
You know, never. I've been with Big Brothers Big Sisters now for going on 22 years, and I haven't seen it not work out in that sense. We've had some matches through the years that time constraints get in the way, and that usually is the biggest obstacle that causes a match to not continue. But, you know, we typically ask our volunteers for a one-year commitment up front, and I would say 9 times out of 10, our volunteers follow through with that commitment of at least 1 year with these kids. But it's, you know, I've never really had a volunteer give up in a sense of, you know, not working with the kid they're matched to.
I hate this child. Or,
yeah.
Or conversely, the child hates me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I we do. So Nancy Barando is our local program manager who works with the volunteers and the children and matches them up. And she's pretty awesome at the job that she does. And she's really good at putting these two puzzle pieces together. And I mean, most of our volunteers are really amazed when they meet the kids they're matched to, because they're, you know, they don't realize how much we're really looking at factors to match them to a kid. And they come to the table with a lot of common interests and hobbies, a lot of similar personality traits. And I mean, sometimes it's almost an instant connection that they have. And the kids are open and interested in forming this relationship. Like I said before, some of our kids are just like sponges for new opportunities, and they just love this opportunity to meet someone new and go out and try new things. And it's just an instant connection.
That has to be an uplift for you and your staff to see a connection click like that.
Yeah, you know, that's the good stuff. That's what we're in it for, too. You know, that's what keeps us going, because, you know, sometimes in the nonprofit world, things are very, very challenging. You have obstacles in your way all over the place, and you're just trying to do some good things for kids and for the community, and it gets tough sometimes. And then you see a great match together, and you see the magic kind of happening before your very eyes, and it brings you right back to where you need to be to keep doing this work.
Do you follow up on these? Do you ever see what happens to these kids, maybe once they get through high school, maybe college or into the working world? Do you keep track?
We don't officially like keep track as far as, you know, information in a database, but we keep in touch with so many of our volunteers and our families. And, you know, we see a lot of things happening for the little kids that have grown up. You know, I mean, we just got information from a mom who her son was a little brother, and he just finished. He's a lawyer now. You know, and
wow.
So the moms will send us emails and updates, and we'll see some of these fabulous things happening. Or, you know, we love to go to graduations in the springtime to see our littles graduating from high school and that sort of thing. Those are always big moments for us to be able to see and just be really happy and proud.
And to realize that without your intervention and the intervention of your volunteers, maybe that didn't happen.
Maybe not. You know, I think that they definitely have contributed to these successes that we're seeing with these kids.
Who pays for all this?
Well, first of all, it's free for volunteers and families. We don't charge them. We raise money from the community to support these programs. That's the main source of our funding.
Of course, you were part of the Giving Tuesday effort this past week, and that certainly is helpful. But you've lost, for the last couple of years, your major fundraiser. We
yes.
always used to talk before Bowl for Kids' Sake, and it was the thing we talked about on Tuesday. Haven't talked to you forever. Well, we haven't done Bowl for Kids' Sake, so I haven't had an excuse to have you on the program, because that's what we usually hooked it to. But COVID-19 knocked that out. How much did that hurt?
That was significant for us. You know, we haven't had Bowl for Kids' Sake since March of 2019, because we had it scheduled for 2020, and COVID hit, and we had to cancel. The world shut down, and we haven't gotten back to it since. We are planning in 2023 to have Bowl for Kids' Sake in the Copper Country, March of 2023. Keep your eyes out for announcements and dates.
And keep us posted about that, because we'll help you promote that and try to make sure that that's going to be a successful event once again.
Yeah, that was, you know, I mean, a huge portion of our funding came from that one event. So when we were not able to have that for a couple of years, it was devastating to us. We kept programs going, we kept kids connected, and we did whatever it took, you know, especially with the support of UP Kids, our sponsoring agency, backing us and supporting us. We were able to keep our programs going, and we're rebuilding now, getting back into the schools and getting our school-based mentoring programs up and running. And we're going to get back to exactly where we were before the pandemic, and hopefully even more so. But it's going to take time, and we have to continue to fundraise so that we can make that happen.
So if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, I could be a big brother, I could be a big sister, how do I go about it?
You can reach out to us. The easiest way, I think, for most people is through our website. You can go to upkids.com, click on the Big Brothers Big Sisters button, and it'll give you all the information that you need about the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, about volunteering, what it entails. There's also an online application for volunteers and families on our website.
Is there any special training that I have to go through, particularly if I'm dealing with a child who might be at risk, maybe coming from an unstable family situation? Is there anything special that I need to carry into that?
There is a process for enrollment for volunteers, an orientation and a training that we give you before you're matched to a child that sets you up for success with this program. And again, we provide that ongoing support for our volunteers. We're talking to you regularly while you're matched to this child and supporting you in whatever way the volunteer feels they need the support or whatever way that we see would be helpful to the match relationship.
Is it always a one-on-one match? Are there instances where you look at a family and here are two brothers, maybe fairly close in age, that you would match up with one big brother or sister?
Usually it's the other way around. We don't typically match multiple kids to a mentor, but we will match multiple mentors to one child.
Oh, really?
It started out years ago, we called it a couples match, where we'll take a married couple and match them to a child. But it kind of expanded beyond that, where we had two sisters who were grown adults that wanted to work together with one child. Or we've had parents with teenage children who, like a mom and her teenage daughter, who have been matched to a little girl. We've actually taken and matched. We had a big brother and a little brother who had been matched for many years. And his little brother turned like 16 and he was getting, maybe a little bored with the relationship. So we matched that big brother and little brother to another little brother. So we're kind of calling them big duos now.
Passing it on down the line, so to speak. So what is the website again?
Upkids.com.
And if you're at all interested in being a big brother or a big sister, if you have a child who could benefit from a big brother or a big sister, or if you'd like to just make a donation to help out, that would be very much appreciated. And Maggie Munch, thank you for coming in.
Yes, thank you for having me.